Now, why does the Christian have a capability to judge? And Paul will deal with that. Let me drop down now to verse 11. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You've been washed. It's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to His mercy, saved us, and by the washing of regeneration. Born again, washed. And the mercy of God has reached down, you see, and touched us. And the very interesting thing is that we ought then to know how to extend mercy. We could be merciful. David had been washed, but God had forgiven him, but he wasn't about to forgive Absalom 100%. And today we need to recognize that there are many wonderful believers who've been washed, and we could trust ourselves to them. Then he says sanctified. Now, sanctification here in Corinthians is two kinds. There's sanctified positionally. That's when we're in Christ. That means Christ is on our side, all believers in Christ. And it means that one of my brothers is judging me, and I'm willing to trust myself, should be, to my brother. A little girl is carrying a heavy baby down the street. And a man saw her and he said, "Little girl, isn't that baby too heavy for you?" "Oh, no," she said, "he's my brother." Makes a lot of difference. He's not too heavy. And I'd be willing for one of my brethren. I'm in Christ. He's in Christ. We're brothers. Now, the third thing is we've been justified. Now, his sins are already forgiven as mine are. He's been declared righteous just as I've been. And he's been cleared before the throne of God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now that man that knows about that, I feel like he could handle my case better than anyone else. Now will you notice verse 12? He says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." Now, there are a lot of things that a believer can do, but they're not expedient to do. And I could mention many of them. Paul mentions one here, meats for the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not, here we go again, that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ, make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. And may I say, somebody should get through to these young folks today that are living together without being married. A couple came to me and they wanted to talk about going into Christian service. They weren't even married, but they were living together. I told them, "You go get married." They said, "Why?" I said, "Because God commands it. That's the way God wants it." And I said, "Until you're willing to do that, you can't serve him." Now, what? He says, "Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot's one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that's joined unto the Lord's one spirit." Flee fornication. You can't live in immorality, friends, and serve Christ. Now, are there men attempting to do that today? And unfortunately, they're acceptable, but God doesn't accept them. Now he says, "What know ye not?" Now here we go again with that. "That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own." Now we come to a remarkable statement and a remarkable truth that a great many believers have not accepted today. Paul's going to discuss sex, by the way. And somebody says he was a bachelor. No, he wasn't. He was married.